Welcome again to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. We're in the midst of a series. We're working with Tim Dabney, one of our own here at Shepherd Staff. We're working on issues revolving around contingency planning and security for the missionary on the field. Today, we're going to address the issue of that pre-deployment stage, that pre-field stage, and what missionaries can do to prepare for the time they actually arrive on the field. Tim, welcome.
Well, thanks again for having me. I want to talk a little bit about pre-deployment today. And, you know, our example is our Lord and Savior himself, is when in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent out the disciples, he gave them really specific instructions about, you know, do not go to Samaria in chapter 10, because he knew that they weren't prepared for that type of cross-cultural experience yet. I mean, he knew ultimately when he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that they would be going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But in this training phase, so to speak, in Matthew 10, he gave them specific instruction and how to be good stewards of the gospel that they'd have been entrusted with as they went out to teach the gospel. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, preparing for your deployment and just some practical steps.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this, Tim. Okay. Well, where do you start?
Well, you know, first of all is you can like just go and Google the term situational awareness. And this is really kind of a pilot's military term that we've borrowed. The intelligence community uses this a lot. And it's really quite simply just being aware of your surroundings. To show you how really sophisticated the intelligence community is, there's this thing that we call JDLR. And you know, if you're practicing good situational awareness, and you may have something that JDLR, which stands for just doesn't look right. Okay, so it's very complex. But if the hair on your neck stands up and a situation doesn't look right, then your intuition, your gut instinct, God has given you that for a specific reason. So situational awareness, before you can know what doesn't look right, you have to know what does look right.
Oh, good.
So you need to be aware of the culture you're going to. You need to be aware of the geopolitical landscape of the culture you're going to. You need to do legal research of, you know, what are the legalities of having a family in the field. If for some reason you have your missionary family in the field and you've got two kids, and heaven forbid there's a car crash and both parents are killed, there are some countries in the world that unless you have prearranged custodial orders and for emergency custody, the government will take custody of those kids, and that you would have a legal battle to get those kids out of the country back to the United States.
Well, it is good stewardship to do this research beforehand, obviously.
Correct. And so what we encourage people to do is if and even whether or not the country is that type of country, have some sort of custodial emergency documentation that you can leave with a family member, or you can leave them with your home church, or someone that you trust that would intervene in one of these situations, or power of attorney, so that they could come present these documents should that type of situation arise. So, you know, simple things like that, looking at the cultural, political, and legal landscape, looking, as we've spoken before, about natural disaster exposure and preparation plans. You know, we talked at length before about being prepared, setting supplies of water aside and food and bandages and whatever the type of natural disaster may hit you. Just being aware of, if you can't get those supplies in the country where you're going, how would you get them there? Would you have a short-term team come to visit you and bring them there? Would you have them shipped there? If they are shipped there, would they be intervened by customs and taken by the local government? I mean, those are all possibilities. Yeah. So you need to know that.
I think one of the things that many people overlook are prescription medicines or meds that are needed, and maybe even an extra set of eyeglasses for those situations.
Absolutely. One of the things that that will, when we get into contingency planning, it's a little different topic that we'll talk about later on in this series, but you talk about an extra pair of eyeglasses, but you should also have a go bag that has like copies of your passport, a little bit of cash, a change of clothes, things like that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So, also, as you're in pre-deployment, we talked before about contingency planning and preparation. Is be aware of the type of criminal activity in the area where you're going to serve. If possible, engage in what we call stress inoculation training for families, which is it's a fancy way of saying just rehearse whatever types of crime that you may experience. Because usually when people get hurt, because let me back up and to put yourselves in the shoes of the criminal. Here's someone who's desperate for cash, or for whatever reason they're desperate, and they're desperate to the point to they're willing to confront another human being to take what's theirs from that human being and to deprive them of that. So you have to be pretty desperate and bold to want to do that. So these criminals oftentimes are scared themselves, and so a false move or a lack of cooperation could have tragic consequences. So knowing the type of crimes that are in that area and preparing your family for that. And if someone says, give them the money.
Amen.
Your life's not worth your billfold.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we train the police departments, train bank tellers, we tell them, give them the money because your life's not worth it. The money's insured. So, and moving on, you know, we talked about emergency legal planning, wills, child guardianship orders, etc. All these types of legal landscape is things you should look at before you go. But even more so is you should talk about these things with your support team at your church. They should understand the level of preparation that you have. And so they should be ready, even though they're on the other side of the globe, they should be ready to come to your aid and side by side work through these situations, monitor situations in your country, and help you through these.
Yeah, that's really a part of being able to send a missionary well, is being part and parcel of what God's called them to, being aware of the situations they're in and prepared, just as the missionary is prepared, the church is prepared to respond in a worst case scenario.
And that's true. And probably the biggest thing about that, both for the home church and the support team and for the missionary, are really two concepts that I like to know, that I like to use is in the metaphor of the shepherd, is one is knowing your pastor, your pasture, and the other one is knowing the flock that you're there to minister to. And by knowing your pasture, what I'm referring to is things that we've talked about before, is knowing the crime trends that are committed against Westerners. Sometimes they're different than the crimes against locals. Enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program of the State Department, so you get the bulletins from the State Department, so at least you're in the know of what they're warning their employees at the embassy about. Beware of your natural disasters. Be aware of social and political movements and the potential for change. I remember a couple of years ago when we were dealing with the political changes in Ukraine, and how some of our families who were serving there had contingency plans to go to neighboring countries to wait out the political situation to see whether they should re-enter or stay out. So have those plans drawn up and have an idea where you're gonna go. Whenever possible, establish relationships with those in authority in the community where you serve. You know, if you endear yourself to the local police department or the city hall or the fire authorities, oftentimes they're going to come to you and give you a heads up and say, look, there are some things coming down the pike that maybe you should not be in the way for. And they would tell you to shelter in place or tell you to go somewhere else for a cooling off period if there's going to be a regime change. But oftentimes the local authorities will watch out for you and protect you. And then know the geography. I don't know how many times, you know, even in America, if we took away our GPS in our phones, we probably all run into each other. I think I got lost in downtown LA a couple of weeks ago because I've become so dependent on my GPS that I don't know landmarks anymore. So if you're getting ready to deploy to the field, and or if you're new and you're out there in the field, and you and your family or your team or whoever you're working with there, you should have geographic locations that if there's a riot, if there's a protest, and you can't go home to your residence, or if you can't go to the church where you're serving, where would you meet? You know, point out a local theater, point out a local store or an athletic field or someplace that would be your rally point. That if someone is looking for you in a regime change, they're going to wait at your house or they're going to wait at your business. But if there's a third rally point that you can tell your family to meet you at, that's good preparation. Okay. Along those lines, safe locations where you could shelter in place, and that's where you should really talk to your locals that you're serving, because oftentimes they wouldn't be the ones to shelter in place, but there may be a community next door that you can get to in pretty rapidly, or it'd be somebody where you could be trusted, that they wouldn't be tipping you off to any, depending on the country you're in. If there is a regime change, that you could shelter in place and when you couldn't get out of the country. So just think about all those things when you're talking about knowing the pasture where the flock is feeding, and using the metaphor of a shepherd. It's just looking at the landscape and being prepared for all of these contingencies. And there's no magic wand. There's no one method that's correct. A lot of it is common sense. You know, in some situations you want to shelter in place, other situations you may want to leave for a period of time. If you're being followed by someone and it looks like you're being set up for something like, let's say, a kidnapping, then you need to vary your routine. You need to not go to the same place every day at the same time. They expect you to do that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about more in depth on situational awareness, about varying your routes and things like that. But in addition to knowing the pasture, know the flock that you're serving. Pray for discernment. You know, a lot of people come, you and I were just having a discussion a few minutes ago about when you were in Kenya, a lot of people came to the church just because there was a white guy.
They were curious about me.
Yeah.
Curious about my kids.
And so other people serving cross-culturally, you're going to have the same experience where people are going to show up and they're going to be very friendly and they're going to be very inviting. And a lot of times, some of these, not always, but sometimes these people have ulterior motives.
Sure.
And there's power involved in that, or manipulation involved in that. So pray for discernment, that God would show you where your trust should be placed when you're dealing with the locals. Develop the trusted national local contacts, because they will be the ones that, if there is a disaster, would be serving alongside of you. And heaven forbid you're the ones that is in need of help, they would be the ones sheltering you.
You know, I can't agree with this more. You've brought it up a couple times as we've been going through this series of our relationship with our nationals is probably the greatest safety valve we have. That these people know before things happen. They know that it's not during the elections that the problem is. They know it's when the announcement is made of who the winner is when the riots will break out. And so they warn you. They know this is the day to go to town, but don't go tomorrow. And they know this. They know where you can find the fruits and vegetables during a time of crisis and where you can't. So yeah, the nationals are who will be the greatest help.
Absolutely. And you know, the God we serve is a very relational God.
Amen.
And it's not about rules and regulations so much as it is the closer we draw to Him, the more wisdom He imparts to us. And sometimes to the outside people, that looks like rules and regulations, but really it's practicing good judgment.
Amen.
And God's guidance. So continuing on that theme is practicing kindness, especially to those who are not part of the ministry.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we get to develop an us versus them mentality. And once we have a cadre of loyal national believers, we have a tendency as Westerners to circle the wagons and say, well, we've got our little piece of the island here, and there's us versus them. Well, you know what? Evangelism thrives in cross-cultural environment, but in order for it to work, you have to be kind and practice that to the people who are not a part of your ministry. Ask questions, engage everyone, especially visitors. Visitors who show up to be a part of your fellowship, like I said before, they may be there for ulterior motives. And the locals will tell you really quick who not to trust. I remember in one venture, I was in another country in Asia, and the country happened to be in civil war when I was there visiting this country. And the local Christian that I was meeting with, we were intercepted by a patrol, an armed patrol that were wearing fatigues. And the Christian that we were ministering with was very afraid for our safety. We prayed for discernment. We interacted with this patrol, and we followed the lead of the local and had a very humble and low profile, and God honored that. We didn't show our hubris by saying, well, we're Americans and there's nothing you could do about it. We humbled ourselves to their authority, and it turned out that they were part of a rebel faction that could have just as easily, pretty much lawless rebel faction, that could have just as easily done us harm. So when you are greeted by visitors or people, don't be naive to the fact that Satan will use people to manipulate you and draw your eyes off target, which is sharing the gospel. Develop relationships of people of varying vocations.
Yeah.
We had a discussion earlier about when you have short-term teams come, see if you can pair up. But I've always wanted to see an interesting experiment where if you found out all the different occupations of a five-person short-term team that's coming to support you, if you could pair them up with the baker and the banker and the police officer in your local community, even if they're not part of your fellowship, to just see what that would look like and kind of have a cross-cultural exchange. So anytime you build those relationships, it validates your presence in that community. Anytime that you can help the community and you put yourself in a position of humility to serve and to raise the status of the people in that community and raise their honor by laying your honor down, then they recognize that, they relish that, and you will endear yourselves to them. So as we do submit ourselves to the Lord, we also need to submit ourselves to the people that we're serving. Know who and what are the enemies of the flock, because there are enemies out there. There are spiritual principalities and powers that will come against the gospel. And sometimes they come in the form of people and agendas. And sometimes they're very direct attack. I remember as a child, my dad went to Haiti on missions quite frequently when he was a pastor in downtown Los Angeles. And he would come back and talking about how people were fearful of the witch doctors and the powers that they had, and how my dad, as a pastor, had witnessed the true either emotional, psychological, or spiritual power that of darkness that these people had. So be aware of who the enemies of flock are, and sometimes they're very tied to the culture. We see that in Asia quite a bit. So back to our little acronym of intelligence is just be a student of normative behavior. Be a student of what is normal, and also learn to recognize what just doesn't look right. Watch people's reaction in an inconspicuous way. You know, people always used to joke with me, and I think I'll close it off with this piece, but people always used to joke with me as a police officer, say, oh yeah, we can always tell you're a police officer, because when you go to the restaurant, you sit with your back to the wall facing the door. And I say, well, absolutely. Mm. Everybody should do that. It's part of situational awareness. It's like, I want to know who's coming through that door. I don't want to be caught unawares. Well, just like Jesus told us in Matthew 10, we are to be wise as serpents, but yet gentle and innocent as doves. So we're here to serve. in humility and present the gospel in a way that glorifies God. But we're not here to expose ourselves unnecessarily and become victims of our own inability to prepare. So practice good stewardship. And these are just some points. That's not the end all be all, but these are some points to help us as we deploy in the field.
Tim, this is really valuable, and I enjoy how we're able to cover a broad spectrum. I want to reinforce the reinforce with the listeners is that this is not, you know, a comprehensive class. This is really a point to give you the idea that you may need further training before hitting the field, or you may need to take this at another level. Certainly, it would be wrong on our part here at Shepherd Staff to believe that, you know, a couple of podcasts would prepare you for everything involved with contingency planning, everything involved with security on the mission field. This is to give you an idea, give you a taste of probably the next steps you need to take. Would you add anything to that, Tim?
No, and I would just, not really, but I would just want to say to the listeners out there is number one, we should be glorifying God and praying for His discernment. I mean, we can prepare, and we're called to prepare. We're called to be good stewards of the resources He's given us, but we follow His lead because He's the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. You've had Tim with us, Tim Dabney. He's our security expert here at Shepherd Staff. I don't want to call him a guest because he is truly one of ours here at Shepherd Staff, and we appreciate you tuning in. So follow along. In the next weeks, we're going to continue with some more on contingency planning, more on security issues for the mission field, more you'll hear from Tim Dabney, and we would love to hear back from you as well. So if you would like to find us on Facebook or send us an email, we would love not only to hear, but for you to ask questions of how we can respond, and even direct questions that we may be able to respond to here on the Facilitating the Mission podcast. In the meantime, may our Lord bless you, and may we meet again in our next podcast.